I'm using my Wednesday night format, moving down to the floor this morning, but I've got a special cause that I'm doing that, because this morning I need some volunteers. I need three teams. Oh yes, Children's Church. Thank you, Miss Sarah. If you're between 4 and 11, you could be dismissed for Children's Church. Miss Lizzie, Miss Marissa are at the back doors, and they will help you between 4 and 11. If you're 12 or up, hang with us in here, okay? Nursery also is available for those that may need it. But I need three sets of volunteers, two-person teams, three of them. But what I'm looking for is somebody that has artistic ability. Billy has his hand up. Billy, you got to have a partner, though. Well, Jonathan's probably don't need to be man in the video. You got to pick somebody else. Who wants to help Billy? Alex, you can help Billy. That's fine if you choose to. All right, I need another person. Artistic ability. I got another artist. There's another artist in the room. Come on up, artist. You want your sissy to help you? Who you want to help you? Okay, come up, Nikki, and help her. Okay, Johnny, come on up and help her. You know, your head's turning real red. It's about the same color as your shirt right now, Johnny. Who else? Anybody else in the room have artistic ability? Elaine has artistic ability. You want the old bearded one to help you? Yeah. Okay, come on up. Come on up. And we got these three teams. We may have to back that one up just a little bit, Sarah. And we want to spread out. We want to give you room. Okay, the helpers, I want you, the helpers, to stand behind these boards. The helpers stand behind the boards. Okay? So, behind here, behind there. You're behind the board. You'll be behind the board. Okay. Each, don't be scared. Each artist is going to have four markers the same color. A green one, a red one, a black one, and a blue one. Brand new Sharpies. Guaranteed not to let you down.
Your partner can handle.
And what I'm going to do, I'm going to ask each of these three artists to draw what I'm describing with the colors that I describe. Now, their assistant is going to help them. They're just going to merely hand the colors out there, okay? But you really can't tell them which color's which. You're just holding them for them. And the other catch to this is that each of our artists will also be equipped with these handy dandy Walmart blindfolds. So, artist, no peeking. Your hands are sweaty.
They always are.
Bend down so I can get to you. I've been wanting to do this for... No. So, let me fix this real good for you. I don't want you cheating. Okay?
I've cheated multiple times.
I know you've cheated multiple times, but you're not cheating today. Okay, artists, are you ready? Helpers, are you ready? Just put the cup where it's accessible to them. Okay, artists, we are here in Sketchboard. Yeah, helpers, you're not helping them. You're just there to hold their markers. Okay, Green Mountain is seen. Okay, just draw your mountains. Okay, 5 more seconds and mountain scene's over. Okay, mountain scene is now over. Now at the foot of your mountain, at the base of your mountain, take the red marker at the foot of your mountain, take your red marker and draw a quaint little cabin at the foot of the mountain. This cabin must have a chimney. So draw a chimney coming out of your cabin. Okay? Now that you've drawn the cabin, have you got your cabin drawn? Billy, I'm not trying to rush you, but hurry up. Okay. Now that you've drawn the cabin, I want you to take your black marker and I want you to create smoke coming out of the chimney and drifting up into the skyline. Okay, everybody got their smoke? Don't y'all go out since us Pentecostals have been smoking in church now. Now, I want you to take, if you would, the blue and make some pretty blue clouds, blue skyline. Make you some blue skyline. Make blue sky, just like blue sky, just like you were looking out sky. Make you some blue sky above the mountain. Okay, everybody, you got about 5 more seconds for blue sky. Okay. Now, I also want you to take your blue and create a blue babbling brook at the bottom of the cabin. Streaming by the cabin. The small babbling brook. And in that brook, take your red marker and create 2 or 3 really, really nice rainbow trout. Swimming upstream, of course. Yes, rainbow trout swimming upstream. 2 or 3. Then as your last addition to your famous piece of art, I want you to take the black, simply because we don't have yellow. Take your black marker and draw this beautiful, beautiful sunrise coming up across the mountain. No helping, Jerry. Don't be helping her. Don't be helping her. Yeah, no, you just hold it. You are holding. Okay, everybody got your sunrise across the mountain. All righty, let's give our artist a hand. Let's give our artists a hand. Let's give our helpers a hand. All right, now you can unmask. Just hang your mask there near on your artwork is fine. Thank you all for all of your artistic ability that's been displayed. Thanks to the helpers for coming and working. I tell you, how many of you all are anticipating seeing some of this in the local museum anytime soon? Yeah, you think so? Yeah. So we created this beautiful work of art along with a little bit of assistance. But what I want to preach to you this morning is a message that I've entitled The Blind Artist's Brush. You see, the difficulty, I happen to know that Nikki and Billy, I'm not familiar with Elaine's artistic ability, but I do know Nikki is a very good artist. Billy is a good artist. I've seen both of their work. They're really good at drawing and art type work. But all three of them, you put them up here and they're blinded. They're blinded to what they're supposed to be doing. They're blinded to colors. They're blinded to location. They're blinded to their easels of makeshift easels that we give to them. They're blinded to their work. I want to preach to you this morning this message, the blind artist brush. I want you to go in your scripture to a very familiar passage, especially for us. In this day and age of the church, we've heard this scripture utilized so much for so many years. But in Proverbs 29:18, the scripture says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. If you read that same verse of scripture in Proverbs 29:18 out of the Amplified Bible, it says, where there is no vision, and it quantifies what that means. No revelation of God in His Word, the people are unrestrained. Okay? You want to know why things are going on in the world like they are going on today? You just found out. You just discovered. When you pick up the paper or you turn on the TV or you pull up the news on your phone and you're like me, and I've been saying this, I've been telling Miss Sarah this for years. I said, the whole world has gone crazy. What is wrong with the world? The whole world has gone crazy. What has happened? Here's the answer. Where there is no vision, no revelation of God in His Word, the people are unrestrained. But happy and blessed is he who keeps the law of God, or the Word of God. So when we begin to think about the blind artist's brush, I want you to know that first and foremost, that when one is blind, their vision is hampered. Okay? We know that. I was doing a little research on blindness this week in preparation for this message. And you know what I found? I found out that only 10% of blind people are totally blind. In other words, they can't see anything. Now, the majority of people who are legally blind can still see shadows and outlines and things like that, but there are 10% of people who are legally blind. But let me tell you, I feel for those. I have friends who, because of diabetes and different things, that have lost their eyesight. I know musicians, some of the most phenomenal musicians that I know. One guy named Michael Cleveland, I'm not personally acquainted with him. I have met him a time or two, but he is legally blind. But man, he is one more fantastic fiddle player. But what I'm saying to you is, though, but when we are blind, whether it's the 10% that is totally blind or whether it's those that are just legally blind, I feel for them. I pray for them. I can't imagine how difficult it would be to not be able to see, but yet we see them functioning, going on with life, and they make do. And there's devices, and there's schooling, and there's Braille, and there's all kinds of stuff that occur to help them. But when we're blind, when a person is physically blind, they have lost their vision physically. But this scripture is talking more than physically blind. Physically, we blinded these three artists. And physically, I know that at least two of them, and I'm giving Elaine all the benefit of the doubt. Elaine is a good artist. But when you blind them, they don't do so well. They don't do so well. Because they can't see and they can't comprehend. The markers were all shaped the same, but they were different colors. And I'm calling out a color. They have no idea what color they were picking up. They had no idea where they were writing on their board. They were just drawing blindly. But when vision is implemented, vision means revelation, understanding, comprehension, and realization in this instance of just who Jesus is. The instance of our scripture. You see, we have a world that we live in. We have a world that especially, not just a world, but we have a country that we live in here in America that has lost their realization of who Jesus is. We have a country. Listen, it's not about a certain generation, whether you call it the Zers, the Xers, or the Millennials, or whoever it is. It's not about a certain generation. It's about a people. It's about a people that have lost their vision of who Jesus is. Now, this really shouldn't surprise us, because we find the Scripture tells us as the day approaches and as the end of the Lord, the coming of the Lord draws near, we find that the Bible teaches us, and we've heard it preached. How many years have I heard it preached? A whole lot. That in the end time, that there will be great falling away. I don't think it necessarily means a great falling away from church and the things of God, but I think even God's people that inhabit the houses of worship, God's people that profess to be Christians, there's even a falling away from their faith as they are continuing on to serve, but their faith has become diminished. You see, I've got some, I have numerous friends that have grown blind through the process of diabetes. And let me tell you something. They didn't just instantly go blind. Their eyes grew dim a little bit at a time, and a little bit at a time, and a little bit at a time. Their eyes grew dim until finally they weren't able to drive anymore. They can't read anymore, or they can't recognize people anymore. And what happens to us, if we're not real careful, it's called, pardon me for those that are animal lovers. I don't mean anything bad about this, but it's that boiling the frog concept, that if you can't put a frog in a pot of hot boiling water, he'll jump out. But if you put a frog in a pan of cold water, put it on the stove and turn the heat up a little bit at a time, that frog will sit there and boil himself to death and not even realize it. You see, oftentimes we find ourselves growing cold and complacent in such a slow, natured way that we grow cold and we grow complacent and we don't even know it. Somebody's got to tell us. Somebody's got to let us know. Holy Spirit, convict our hearts. Holy Spirit, deal with our lives. Word of God, find us out. But then, I want to remind you of this. Jesus likes fine art. Jesus likes fine art. Now, a few months ago in one of the life groups, it was called, the book that we studied was called The Artisan Soul. And it was a little bit difficult. It was challenging in some ways, that yeah, it was very good. There was a lot of good things to learn from it. But Jesus does like fine art. And this is the thing about it. His work is beautiful. Now, I know none of these that did our artwork this morning were our little children. You know, we had teenagers and an adult. You are an adult, like, right, Elaine? Most time. But now, let me tell you what. Nobody's probably going, if you want to, listen, we will all offer these for silent auction after the service. Starting bid, $50 each. But let me tell you something. If it had been little Reese or Ruth or... Where's me another little one? Who's me another little one? Or one of Bree and John. They got a whole slew of them. If it had been one of their little ones had drawn one of these pictures, you know what would have happened? Mom and Daddy would have had that thing... They would have had that thing plastered on the front of the refrigerator by 2 o'clock this afternoon. Or Granny and Grandpa would. You know why? Because those little ones, it doesn't matter if they get the right color. It doesn't matter if they have the lines together where they're supposed to join together. It doesn't matter if the mountains are up here or down here, or the cabins here or the cabins there. That doesn't matter. Because if that little one does it, it's looked upon as being a great work of art. The little stick men. The little stick men and the crooked house and the truck with the square wheels on it, which depicts most Fords. But you know, it's all good and it's all well, and it becomes a work of art. Don't you understand that even to today, the song that praise team finished up, I am a child of God. Don't you realize that you and I, as children, as sons and daughters, we're just like the little ones. We're just like the Reese's and the Ruth's. We're just like all these other little kids. And when when God looks at us, you know, we may make a mess sometime, but God still looks at us and He says, that's a work of art in my eyes. That's a work of art. That's an ongoing process. You know, and if you've ever had, you know, like us, you've had, maybe had one of those pictures hanging on the refrigerator and one of your grandkids come in and say, oh, I got to add just a little bit more to it. And they'll take it down and they'll color just a little bit more. Every single day of our life, if we will trust God, if we will have revelation, if we will have vision, if we will have comprehension of who Jesus is, He is doing an ongoing developing work in our life because He loves art and you and I are His easel and He is ministering to our life and through our lives. You see, in every one of our lives in this room, there's colors of sunsets blending together. There's stormy nights. There's those seasons of the pure driven snow. There's those seasons of thunder and lightning happening in our life. All of those things depict our life. In every one of our lives, if we will trust Jesus, is created under the brush strokes of the master artist. Amen. Jesus. He's developing us. And He's creating us. And then what we are, you and I, we become art creating art. When I was a kid, my sister and I, she's much older than I am, but no, not really. You know, I'm a whole lot better looking. She's got a whole lot more money. And I got, but I remember when I was a kid, my mom and dad, some of you old people don't remember, we got a John Nagy drawing set. Y'all remember John Nagy? He was sort of like the guy before Bob Ross, you know. He was sort of the guy before Bob Ross. And my sister had some pretty good artistic abilities. She'd take that black chalk and the light gray chalk and she would rub it and she would do this and she would do that and she would get a Kleenex and smear it, you know, and she's had some artistic ability, you know, like that. But she never could. She, only thing she ever learned how to play was a Magnus chord organ with one finger by number, okay? So she didn't get it all. Okay. But my John Nagy drawing set, when I got the John Nagy drawing set, mine were the stick men and all that stuff, and mine was just a lot of marks and swipes, and I had black chalk up to both elbows by the time I got done. I had it across my forehead and down over my face, but nevertheless, we're artists producing art. You see, you and I, every one of us in this room, we have a portrait of life to sketch. We have a portrait of life to live out. We have a portrait of life to draw and to create and to make. We have a portrait of life to bring those colors together. We have a portrait of life to put together. But here's the key. You see, these blind artists, it might not have been so great, but let me tell you something, it would have been even worse if they hadn't had their helper. It would have been even worse if I hadn't told them what to draw. They wouldn't have known what to have drawn. They wouldn't have direction. They wouldn't have any guidance. So not that I'm deity in any way, but understand I was given the direction, understanding that the helpers were giving a minimal amount of assistance. But listen to this. You and I have our portraits to draw. You and I have our lives to live. You and I have, we have our cross to carry, as we say. You and I have our legacy to live out. You and I have something to leave behind. But here's the thing about it. We cannot do it without the leadership and the direction of a master artist that is teaching us and guiding us and telling us what color to paint and telling us where to make the brush strokes. And even when we make the wrong brush strokes, we'll come back and wipe it out and say, okay, So what? Do it all over again. And He leads us and He guides us and He blesses us. And through Christ Jesus, you and I become producers of a great work of art that we call our lives. Everybody in this room has a testimony. Some of you may be thinking right now, not me. I don't have a testimony. Sure you do. You know, we think sometimes that a testimony has to think, well, I was the biggest drug addict over there in Bluewell, you know, and I was shooting up this much a day, but the Lord saved me and delivered me. And if you don't have something like that to tell, that you don't have a testimony. That's not true at all. Now, if you're the drug addict, you do have a testimony to tell. But maybe you're the little goody two-shoes like my wife that was raised up in church and never did anything wrong. But she still has a testimony to tell. She still has a testimony to tell. She still has a portrait to paint. She still has a testimony to share. Because there's things that she has been through in life. She might not have had to conquer drugs. She might not have needed the Lord's help to overcome drugs. But there's other things in life that she has faced. And God has been faithful to her through it all. I love that old song, didn't you? Through it all. Through it all. I've had many tears and sorrows, but she has a testimony, and so do you. We are art producing art, and we have a master artist that is guiding and leading us and giving us direction in everything we need to do. He is our teacher. But here's what happens. The blindfolds of life, will occur. You see, when these people were blinded up here, the three artists, they were blinded to what colors they were using. They were even blinded to where they were at on the easel other than what they could just... And listen, you know what they were doing? You know when they were up here doing this? And Jerry was cheating for Elaine. But you know when they were up here doing this? When you look at Nicole's, everything's off to this side. You know, I was watching them. They were feeling... You know what that's called? Billy was over here. Billy was... I was worried about him getting a paper cut. He was feeling, you know what they were doing? They were groping. They were looking for that place to fit in. They were looking for that place to make their next move. They were looking for that place to make the next mark. Listen to me. When we're blinded, when our revelation has grown dim, or our revelation of who God is has waxed dim in our eyes, and we no longer have that revelation of God like we should have, or maybe like we once did have, just like the writer of Proverbs says, what happens? We find ourselves groping and looking for the right place. And that could be somebody in this room today. And we certainly know we have a world full of people out there that are groping and they're looking for that right place to fit in. And where there is no revelation, where that realization, where that comprehension, where that comprehension lacks, where that understanding is gone, people will perish. And most of you read most of the versions, regardless of how modern or how contemporary it is, most of the interpretations of that verse of Scripture says, and they will be destroyed without any remedy. So when we are doing the artwork of life, if we have the blindfolds on, we don't comprehend the color, and we struggle to put things in the right place at the right time, the proper perspective, if you would. We will always struggle to put things in the right perspective. The only thing that they were doing up here, the only thing they were painting to, the only thing they were drawing to was their mental perception. Every single one, all three of these people, when I said a cabin, there was a mental picture of a cabin came into their mind. And they were blindly trying to transfer it to the easel they had in front of them. But it was difficult to do without being able to see. You see, when we have become disconnected from God, When we have become, when we fail, when our revelation of who Jesus is hasn't been obtained, or it's fallen by our wayside, so to speak, then it's hard for us to be the work of art that God's created for us to be. Because you see, the real artists, and by the way, there are some very phenomenal blind artists. I was online, perusing online and looking at artwork that is painted by blind artists. It's pretty amazing. Okay? But in the spiritual sense, and in the sense of our illustration this morning, I want you to know this. A good artist will create their art out of inspiration. They'll create their art out of inspiration. Who is inspiring you today? What are you inspired by? What speaks to your heart? Is it the revelation of Jesus Christ? Is it the knowledge of who He is and what He's done? Is it the knowledge of who He is? Are we blindfolded? You see, our vision comes when we realize who God became in Christ and also who we are in Christ. You see, because Jesus became flesh. Jesus was God become flesh. Until we may not in a natural sense be able to comprehend it, but in the spiritual sense, till we comprehend that Jesus was God become flesh, and Jesus was exposed in like manner to everything that you and I have, will, or ever will be exposed to. And you and I are who we are. Realizing, I am who I am in Christ Jesus. When you realize you have a position in Christ Jesus, you have received the revelation of Christ Jesus, I will walk in the Spirit and I will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. When you realize that, then you will begin to produce the art that He's called you to produce. Satan has come to kill, steal, and destroy. In fact, Paul says this to the church of Corinthians. He said, Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the mind of those who don't believe. They're unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the Lord, about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. See, Satan wants to blind all of us to the reality of who Christ is. Then we find ourselves overcome. Jesus spoke in Mark chapter 4. He spoke of the cares and the troubles of the life coming in and just choking us. And we get overwhelmed sometimes with life. I read something yesterday. I thought it was neat. I didn't add it to the message, but I'll go ahead and just shoot from the hip with it. But I think Pastor Steve Branch, actually, I think, who shared it on his social media page, and it said, is this going to affect, if it doesn't affect something 5 years from now, don't give it more than 5 minutes of your time. And how often do we allow things to consume our life? The troubles and the cares of life. And then I read over in Luke's Gospel, in chapter 12 of Luke's Gospel, I was reading over there this week about a guy that says, hey, I'm going to tear down my barns and I'm going to build even bigger barns. And he become consumed with striving for success. Let me tell you something. I have done a lot of funerals. In 26 years. I've done a lot of funerals. But I have never, ever, ever, ever. I've done funerals where they've been hauled to the grave on the back of a fire truck. I've done funerals where they've been hauled on four wheelers. I've done funerals where they've been all kind. I did one funeral where they hauled the guy back of a cattle truck. He drove a tractor truck, cattle truck. They washed it real good, put the casket in there, and that's where they hauled him. I have never, ever done a funeral with my knowledge that anyone took everything they had with them. I heard a story about a guy that wanted to be buried with all of his money, so they put all of his money in the casket. One of the funeral home workers' wife needed a check cashed, so he just went ahead and cashed a check off the guy before they buried him. You know, if you think about that after you get home for a while, you know. But listen. All the treasures, all the successes, all of the wealth of this life, everything, anything exists in this life. Listen to me. Everything and anything that exists in this life, even this flesh, is temporary. But sometimes it will blind us. It will blind us because we get so busy that we forget about the revelation of who Christ is. So what we have to do is allow the Holy Spirit to guide our brush. Allow the Holy Spirit to say, make that next brush stroke over here, or take that next brush stroke over there. A number of years ago, this conference, and he actually came, if I remember correctly, I think he maybe originated up around Mullins. There was a preacher that used to be in the Appalachian Conference of the Pentecostal Holiness Church, and he happened to be one of my mentors. And that man's name was Eddie Blankenship. And somebody, I think the old Bluewell Church down here had a picture of Eddie's. Every church had a picture of Eddie Blankenship, one of Eddie Blankenship's drawings in it. He loved chalk, he loved pastels, he loved oil paints, he loved it all. He was a tremendous artist. But I can remember Eddie preaching, and Eddie had this big easel, and I had him for Bible school before, and he would come in and he would preach a message, and he would go over, and he's got a board like this, and it's a plain white board, and he's making marks all over the board, and he's talking while he's making these marks, but there's really no marks there. It's just like he's pretending, or like his marker or his chalk was used up. And then when he would get done, he had this little light switch on the back of his board, and he would flip on black lights, and all of a sudden, boom, there would be an image there. He called it invisible chalk. And it always just amazed me that even though he couldn't see what literally you couldn't see what he was doing, that he could put that drawing together and then boom, all of a sudden it comes to life. Let me tell you something. There's sometimes in your life, in my life, that it doesn't make sense. There's sometimes in your life and my life that we can't see the end. There's sometimes in your life and my life that we just really don't understand. But if we will trust God, everything is hidden, the Bible says, and I know the context that we receive that in most often, but everything that is hidden will come to life. You just let the Holy Spirit keep making the brush strokes and the mark in your life, and one of these days, boom, the lights are going to come on and you are going to see an image, and you are going to see a portrait that's going to be the most beautiful portrait that you've ever seen in your life. Amen. If you will let God work in your life. Because here's the thing. You know what? My dad wasn't an artist in the sense of painting and stuff like that. My dad wasn't a musician. Daddy always told me, I still pick at him today over that. Dad, my dad's 89 years old. Daddy always told me, he said, if you learn how to pick a banjo, he said, I'll buy you a real good one after you learn how to pick. I just figure I must not ever learn how to play. Cause he still ain't bought me one. But I tell you something my dad could do, and I remember very profoundly when I was a kid. My dad could whittle. He would take peach seeds, the seeds out of a peach, and whittle little monkeys and squirrels and stuff out of them. My dad, Bill's a whittler. Bill back there. Bill, he's got a train that he's whittling out. He's got a big old ship about this long that he's been making and working on. If Bill, he's talented with a knife in a good way. But listen to me. I never did make much of a whittler myself. But one thing my dad taught me how to whittle is to get a little piece of wood about this long and start whittling it. And you could put angles on it and you could make the prettiest propeller that you ever saw in your life. And when I was a kid, I couldn't whittle much, but I could whittle out propellers. There was propellers on my mom's clothesline poles. There was propeller on the front of my mini bike. There was propellers on my bicycle. There was propeller. I don't know. I may even had a propeller on the school bus. But you know what? It all came at the hand of my daddy. And when you and I, if we will let the hand of our daddy, our spiritual daddy, teach us and show us the brush strokes of life, the artwork of life, and we will let Him create His masterpiece in us and then create the masterpiece through us. You see, it's the Holy Spirit that brings the inspiration to inspiration, what we can't see in the natural. So we let the Holy Spirit guide our brush. We let the Holy Spirit develop what happens and occurs in our life. But here is the key. The key is that we go all the way back to Proverbs 29 and 18. That where there is no vision, no revelation of God and His Word, people are unrestrained. We must have a revelation of who God is. We must have an understanding of His Word. We must behold and consider Him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords and God of all. Otherwise, we're unrestrained. And when we do, the Scripture declares, happy and blessed is he who keeps the law of God. So this morning, we live in a world that seemingly is unrestrained. The other day, we go down to Sarah's dad's some on Sunday nights. And I really like it because I like visiting with her dad. He's fun to talk to and we have a good time and he's getting older too. But every Sunday night I can promise you what he's going to be doing. He's going to be sitting in his easy chair in his den and Hee-Haw reruns are going to be on TV. And last Sunday night was there and here come on the reruns of Hee-Haw, here come special guest on Hee-Haw tonight, Bruce Jenner. A young Bruce Jenner. Tremendous athlete. He had just won all of his medals and all that, and he's on Hee-Haw. And then you look at the track that he has taken in life now. And you say, how could that happen? Does it mean Bruce Jenner is a bad guy? No, it doesn't mean that Bruce, or whatever he is now, but it doesn't mean that he's a bad guy. But what it does mean, here's what happens. Where there is no revelation, where the Word is not understood, where the Word is not comprehended, people are unrestrained. And he's just one example. And we look around us. I want to tell you, I'm not worried. I'm not concerned about me. I'm not worried about me. I am concerned a little bit about my son. You know, he's going to be 34 here in a few weeks. But who I'm really concerned about is our grandkids. Now, and of course, I do believe Jesus is coming, but I don't know when. But I'm concerned of what kind of world my grandkids are going to grow up in, because I see a world. I see a country here that is no longer following the vision. They have lost their perception of who God is. And the only people that can make a difference, it starts with me and you. I can't make anybody think different. I can't make them act different. It's not my job to change anybody. But it is my job to proclaim that Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. And the Word of God is true. So this morning, if you're in this place and your vision has grown dim, maybe you're painting with one eye shut. Maybe you're blindfolded like our three artists was up here this morning. Maybe you've never really ever been saved in your life. Today's a good day. Today's a good day. So without further ado, I'm going to ask you just to bow your heads and close your eyes for just a moment. The traditional stuff. You know the routine. And right, you know that right now that I'm going to ask you, who in this room has never ever given your heart and life to Jesus Christ? I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not trying to demean you in any ways. But are you in this room and you've never given your heart and life to Jesus Christ? You've never surrendered to Him? If that's you, just slip up your hand just so I'll know to pray for you. Is there anybody in this room? Are you in this room? Are you in this room this morning? Or maybe you're even watching by our streaming or listening by EV radio. That your vision has grown dim. The cares, the troubles of this life, the turmoil of the world, the busyness of your life. It may not be anything sinful. It may, you know, if the devil can't make you bad, one person said he'll make you busy. If the busyness of your life has drawn you away, it's drawn you far, and your vision is growing dim, and your vision is way out in left field somewhere, if that's you and you realize it this morning, the Holy Spirit has convicted you, and the Holy Spirit is dealing with your life without any embarrassment, no harsh judgment, because let me tell you something, there's times that I've had to realign my vision in my life. But if you're here this morning and your vision needs to be realigned, would you just slip up your hand and say, Pastor, pray for me. That's you. Thank you. Is there anybody else? Anyone else? My vision needs to be realigned. Thank you. Are there others? Hands starting to pop up all around through the congregation. Are there others? My vision needs to be realigned. This is what I want to ask you to do, church. We're going to say goodbye to our social media audience.